Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, it's the due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 18th already of October, 2023. My name is Arthur. This morning, I'm going to radio drama double feature, in case you haven't been taking note. For the first half of the program, we're going to hear Bob Bailey and yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This one is titled The Ghost to Ghost Matter, with an original air date of the 18th of May, 1958. Thanks.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. This is Art Price, International Press Service.
Oh, holy smoke, Art. What are you doing up at this hour of the morning?
I'm on the night desk, and I'm sorry to have to wake you up.
So am I.
Listen, I just got a call. A real frantic one from a guy who insisted on having your phone number.
Well, did you give it to him?
He said he's an insurance man, that it was about some insurance matter, so yes, I did.
Well, why'd he call you?
Yeah, that puzzles me too, but he was so excited, so frantic. Well, he probably called the first person he could think of, and he said it was a big emergency.
Oh, did he give you any details?
No. And Johnny, it's aroused my curiosity. Let me know what it's all about, will you?
Yeah, sure, sir.
Promise?
Okay, Art, promise.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. The State Unity Life Insurance Company, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the ghost-to-ghost matter. I'd no sooner rolled over in the hope of getting back to sleep when the phone beside my bed started jangling again. Oh, nuts. Johnny Dollar.
This is Oscar H. Trimley, Mr. Dollar.
Trimley?
I represent State Unity Life here in Lake City, New Jersey.
Oh, look, are you the man who called Art Price over at International Press Service?
Yes, I did get your phone number. I knew he'd have it, you're being such a famous investigator and all that.
Yeah, well, you could also have got it from Universal Adjustment Bureau, your insurance directory, the long-distance operator.
Oh, dear, I guess I've been so upset over this whole thing that it never occurred to me, but... Can you come down here to Lake City, Mr. Dollar, right away?
Well, it depends. What's this all about?
Ian McAndrews.
Who's Ian McAndrews?
Oh, don't you know? He's the man who founded Lake City.
So what's happened to him?
He's dead, Mr. Dollar. Or rather, he isn't.
Huh?
Well, that is to say, he died, Mr. Dollar, about 5 years ago.
And?
Well, in due time, of course, we paid off the claim on his life insurance policy, $55,000. Everything in order and perfectly all right.
Well, then?
But now... Oh no, Mr. Dollar. You just won't believe it unless you come here and see for yourself.
Oh, won't believe what?
Ian McAndrews has come back.
Huh?
Either he or his ghost has come back here.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true, sir. Ian McAndrews is haunting Lake City. So please come as quickly as you can.
I'll think about it.
Oh, dear, is that the best answer you can give me?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, until I see how things line up for me these next couple of days. Goodbye, Mr. Trimley. Think about it. I could hardly wait to grab a train. But I didn't want Oscar Trimley to know that. Because I had a strong suspicion that if you can catch a ghost off guard, you'll be one up on him. Expense account item one, the promised phone call to Art Price in International Press.
Are you kidding, Johnny?
No, I'm deadly serious, Art.
But a ghost in the little New Jersey.
Yep, I'll keep in touch. Then I remembered Nancy. Nancy Turner, an old flame, or rather, a young old flame. She'd said something one time about taking up investigation of the supernatural. So, expense account item two, another dime for another call.
You old rascal, Johnny, you haven't called me in ages.
Well, you know how it is. Look, Nancy, did you ever go ahead with your study of psychic investigation?
Psychic? Oh, no, Johnny. I found I'd have to read a couple of hundred musty old books, so I gave it up.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Oh, why?
Well, I've got to run over to Jersey to investigate a haunted town.
A haunted town? How thrilling.
Except that such a thing is impossible.
Oh, it is?
Sure. But I'd kind of thought that maybe you were still... Well, I guess we better forget it.
Forget it? Nothing. I'm going with you.
Oh, no, wait.
No excuses. I'll put on my face and another dress and be waiting by the time you can get here.
Yeah, but look, honey, I...
Johnny...
Okay, Nancy, I'll pick you up. Item 3, 1085, taxi and train for two to New York. Item 4, $50 deposit on a rental car when we got into Grand Central Station. We crossed over into Jersey and hit Route 22 for Somerville and points west. And every mile of the way, Nancy chattered away like a magpie. She kept quoting some of the stuff she had read on the subject. A lot of authorities who decided that some of the reports on haunted towns and houses and people, things like that, had decided there was something really supernatural about them. And you know, after a while I began to wonder. Yep, I began to wonder.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. Kansas state flag is dark blue, and in the center is the state seal, surmounted by a large sunflower, the official state flower. The seal reflects the history of Kansas, the train of ox wagons going west, for most of the great roads passed through Kansas. An Indian is depicted chasing a herd of buffalo, recalling the words of the official state song, "Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam." For this truly was the home of the buffalo and Indian. The East is represented by a rising sun, and the promise of future prosperity is indicated by the steamboat on the river and the farmer plowing the field. Above a mountain range are 34 stars, for Kansas was the 34th state admitted to the Union. Overall is the state motto, Ad Astra Per Aspera, to the stars through difficulties. Kansas state flag, the flag of the 34th state to enter the Union, was adopted on March 23, 1927.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Ghost to Ghost Matter.
Lake City, nestled in among the soft, rolling North Jersey hills. But it kind of has been town. I saw the reason for that in the abandoned mill, the old McAndrews cotton mill at one side of the lake. The same old story, I guess. When a town's main industry closes down, it kind of goes to pot. Nonetheless, it was a charming little place. Population, maybe 400 or 500. When we finally located Oscar Trimley's insurance office, we found a bit of a gathering there.
And Mr. Dollar, that is Miss Turner and Mr. Dollar. This is Charlie Reed.
Hi, Mr. Reed.
Bill Foster and Tony Gray. We're sort of local businessmen's club, Johnny, you know.
Okay, then let's get to the point.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Johnny, I thought over the phone that you were turning us down.
Well, I changed my mind, and when I thought of Nancy and her knowledge of the supernatural...
Good. That's what we need.
Well, yes, you're right.
Well, I am interested in the subject.
We're all a little worried about it. Tony isn't kidding.
I think we're a pretty level-headed bunch, but, well, this thing has us scared.
That's putting it mildly.
If it really is his ghost that's plaguing us...
Oh, now, you don't seriously believe in ghosts.
I'll tell you this. I never did before, but now, well, wait and you'll see.
Gee, Johnny.
Well, suppose you tell me what's going on.
Well...
No, Johnny. You'll have to see for yourself.
And here.
Yes, Charlie, and here. And that means waiting until midnight.
Midnight?
Sure, Mr. Dollar.
Well, just why, Bill?
You'll see.
Yes, and meantime, you can look around. Say, aren't you quite a fisherman, Johnny?
Oh, I'd rather fish than eat, but now look,
I love to fish, too.
Good, the lake's full of nice bass. Charlie, you can fix him up with a boat, can't you?
You sure can.
Yes, but if I'm going to investigate...
Tony, you'll arrange for a place for Miss Turner to stay overnight.
Be glad to.
Well, now...
And, Johnny, you'll stay at my home, all right?
Fine, but now at least tell me...
No, I want you to see for yourself at midnight. Now, meantime, good fishing.
Right. Now, I've got to get back to the shop before Mrs. Bickley starts screaming about her high five. See you later.
Yeah, and I'll come back to the office and arrange somewhere for Miss Turner to stay. See you later.
See you, Tony. Now, if you folks will come over to the print shop with me, we'll pick up the keys to my boat and some tackle, and you can be on your way.
Look, can't you at least give me some idea?
Nope, not a thing until midnight. Oh, and we'll all have dinner together at the hotel.
Mr. Turnley...
Well, you ready, Mr. Turner? Johnny?
Well, you fellas are the boss, I guess. Fishing, Nancy?
I'd love it.
I'll even give you some of the fast-strike hooks I use.
Okay, then let's go. There was something slightly screwy about the whole thing. And I don't mean just the talk of a ghost. But when I go fishing, and at company expense, well, who's to complain? So Nancy and I spent the rest of the day on the lake. Matter of fact, she caught the big one. By dinner time, we were starved, and the little hotel served us not only excellent cocktails, but a regular banquet complete with champagne.
You enjoying it, Miss Turner?
I love it. Only why don't you call me Nancy?
Sure, why not?
Charlie, I'll tell your wife.
Now, Tony, you stay out of this.
Mr. Trimley, about this ghost
business. This champagne, you know, comes from the old Leland Stanford Vineyard.
Oh, yes, and it's fine.
Finest I know.
But it's time we talk about your ghost.
Say, you land any big ones out on the lake?
Yeah, Bill, Nancy got a 4-pounder. But now listen, will you...
Another thing about this fine California
wine. Didn't I see you navigating the boat, Nancy?
Listen, will you please?
Fella got one last year, weighed 6.5.
Look, fellas.
Go it over near the old cotton.
Hey, fellas. Look, please, will you tell me a little bit about... All I want to know is... So, I got nowhere. But then, finally, after a lot more food and wine and chatter, we drove off in Tony's car.
Now, I'm stopping here in the middle of town, Johnny, because it's the best place to be when things start popping.
Like what? Hey, when are you fellas going to stop this runaround and start making sense?
You'll see, you'll see.
I'm all excited.
Look, Johnny.
Yeah, Charlie?
You see the old tower clock? Almost midnight.
So what about it?
Old McAndrews passed away at the stroke of midnight, Johnny. Personally, I think that has something to do with this.
You still haven't told me with what?
Wait. Listen. There goes the tower clock.
Oh, midnight.
Count them, Johnny. That was 4. 5.
And, Johnny, see how all the lights are flickering along the streets?
That happens every night?
And no reason for it.
Look, bats!
Huh?
Millions of bats coming out of that clock tower.
Yeah. Yeah, I see them. But I don't... What under the sun is that?
That's the ghost, wailing.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
That scream fills the air. Comes from everywhere.
Oh, it's a horrible sound. Johnny.
Easy, honey.
No, listen. Didn't you hear? That clock struck 13.
Yes, Johnny.
Why, yes.
You ask me, the devil's in old McAndrew's ghost. That's why it comes out of his house every night.
Out of his house?
Right, Johnny. And wait till you see what's there.
Right.
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Famous words of wisdom spoken by great men of thought never die, but are carried on through history by the people who feel them and love them. When Benjamin Franklin said, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety," he was speaking for all men in all countries. In May 1945, when the 1st Marine Division was making an assault on Okinawa, pharmacist's mate William D. Halliburton, Jr., serving with a Marine Rifle Company, left his place of safety during a terrific counterattack by the enemy. In spite of the deadly accuracy of the concentrated fire around him, Halliburton unhesitatingly dashed across a draw and up a hill into an open bombarded field to render first aid to a fallen Marine. When his patient was struck a second time, Halliburton placed himself in the direct line of fire in order that he might shield his patient and continue to treat him. though he could have sought safety until his company advanced and covered him, his first thought was for the wounded man. It was only when the slashing fury of the shrapnel and bullets mortally wounded him that Halliburton was unable to continue his duty. His unwavering code of conduct in the fight for liberty earned him his grateful country's highest award, the Medal of Honor.
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Ghost to Ghost Matter.
Is the front door of this old house always left wide open?
Yeah, Johnny. Sure you want to go in?
Sure. Come along, Nancy.
I'm coming. Oh, there was more light around. Oh!
Well, that's nice. Slammed right in our faces.
I knew it.
Unlocked, though. Let me have that flashlight, Tony.
Here.
No sign of wires or strings on it. Come on.
Okay. Come on, fellas.
Now, Johnny.
Yeah, Bill?
As you can see, there's just one big room downstairs here.
Johnny.
Easy, Nancy, easy.
Don't you see
Look,
that?
I admit this is all pretty strange, but a ghost.
Well, what else? We've been over this house with a fine-tooth comb.
Hey, listen. You hear that?
Somebody's walking on the ceiling. Listen. Oh.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you hear.
Poltergeist. Noisy spirits. You can hear them, but you can't see them.
Don't you see, Johnny? It can't be anything normal or natural.
Is that the end?
No, sir. The old ghost has a regular...
See? Hear those shutters banging? There's no wind out there.
Why didn't you tell me it'd be like this, Johnny? Let's...
Look.
Yeah. Light's moving around somewhere outside.
You can see the reflection in the trees.
But they're green. Ghost lights. Oh! Johnny, look! That was a rocking chair. It's rocking.
In front of the window, where old McAndrews used to sit and look out on the town before he died.
Give me the flashlight.
Here.
No strings or wires on this either.
Well, that's the end of it. The same crazy routine every night.
It's the ghost of Ian McAndrews. That's all there is to it.
Well, from what you fellas are showing me tonight, it kind of looks that way.
It is, Johnny.
But tomorrow I want to investigate these things in broad daylight. I investigated, all right, the old house, the clock tower, everything I could find. And thanks to the help of the boys, we covered a lot of ground. Result? Nothing. Meantime, I noticed that the town, the sleepy little town of Lake City, was being mobbed. People from all over, streets jammed with cars. And as we sat down at lunch in the hotel...
Miss, waitress, will you please bring me another cup of... Oh, dear, she didn't hear me.
Where'd they all come from?
Yeah. Business has certainly picked up around here.
Why, yes, I'd noticed that.
Any idea why, Bill?
Not the least. No wonder Tony couldn't be with us for lunch. And Charlie's at his print shop getting out an extra.
Hey, excuse me. Aren't you Johnny Dollar, the investigator?
Yeah, that's right.
Man, can I use you. Now, just let me get a picture.
Well, now, wait.
Hold it. Okay, Johnny. Thanks a lot.
Hey, that photographer's from one of the New York papers.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Listen, if Art Price at International Press gave out the word about this ghost story...
Oh, now, Johnny...
Okay, Nancy, you all finished?
Uh-huh.
Then, Oscar, Bill, we're going to leave the check with you and pull out.
You mean leave town?
Yep, going back to Hartford.
But, Johnny...
I've investigated, I've come up with nothing. So there's no point in staying around any longer.
Oh, Johnny...
Thanks a lot, fellas. And, Oscar, I'll send you my expense account. Come on, Nancy. Give up? Hardly. Sure, Nancy and I hit the highway, but for only a few miles. Then shortly after dark, we drove back. And for a couple of hours, for 3 or 4 hours, Well, anyhow, shortly before midnight, Nancy and I walked quietly up on the porch of Oscar Trimley's insurance office.
You mean you didn't leave a message at my office to be here tonight?
I certainly didn't. I found a message from Charlie.
Are you kidding? Somebody left a message at my print shop to be here.
And I got one at my radio shop.
Well, I'll be
good
darned.
Girl, Nancy.
Now, I wonder...
Of course, they couldn't know your handwriting.
Wait a minute. There's somebody outside.
Huh?
Johnny.
What's
good evening, gentlemen.
Why? I thought you'd left town, Johnny.
What are you doing back
here? Yeah, that's right. I wanted you to think so. Well, listen. The old tower clock has started to strike midnight.
Oh, yeah, that's 5, 6.
Boys, I suddenly realized that in all my investigation this morning, I was being handicapped by what I thought was help.
What do you mean, Johnny?
Yeah, what's that?
I had too much help. 2 or 3 of you were with me every second.
Well, we wanted to be sure you wouldn't overlook anything.
That's right.
You wanted to be sure I would overlook a few things.
Huh?
Hey, now, wait. That's 11, 12. Well, hey, it only struck 12.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No ghostly wail tonight, is there?
Why, no.
No, fellas, no. Because the ghost is no more.
You found the ghost, Johnny?
I found out that he's one of you, maybe all of you.
Oh, no. What are you?
Alone, without your careful guidance, I finally located that sub-cellar in the old McAndrews house.
You did?
And that mess of complicated electrical stuff that was making the weird sound effects, the rocking chair, the banging shutters, and so on. Very clever. Your handiwork, Bill?
Sure.
But Johnny...
Oh, fellas, it was a wonderful publicity stunt. Especially after international press was notified.
But you did that.
Not only for your radio and electronics shop, Bill, for your real estate business, Tony, your print shop and newspaper, Charlie, and your insurance business, Oscar.
Well, now,
but
Johnny...
But for the whole town. It's going to put Lake City on the map again. Which is to say, the motive wasn't entirely selfish.
No, of course it wasn't.
Okay, man. And because of that, and that alone, I won't give you away. Provided the ghost of Ian McAndrews never walks the streets of Lake City again.
Well, you can be sure of that, Johnny Dollar.
I don't know. I suppose I ought to really hit you over the head with this expense account. But after all, the cause was a kind of worthy one. So I'll be honest with it for a change. And it was fun to have Nancy Turner along. Expense account total, including mileage on the rental car, less deposit, $31.50. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. North Dakota's state flag consists of a field of blue bordered with a knotted yellow fringe. Centered is a bird with outspread wings and with open beak, the eagle, king of birds, symbol of supreme authority, power, strength, and nobility. The left talon of the eagle grasps a sheaf of arrows, representing the Indians of North Dakota. The right foot grasps an olive branch, signifying peace. On the breast of the eagle is a shield with 7 red and 6 white stripes, signifying protection by the Union of the States. A scroll bearing the word E Pluribus Unum, one out of many, passes through the eagle's beak. 13 stars for the original 13 states are over the scroll. Above the stars is a sunburst for the continual sunshine in the state. North Dakota's state flag, the flag of the 39th state to enter the Union, was adopted on March 26, 1929.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story. Next week, the most dangerous, exciting incident of my whole career. I break out in a cold sweat whenever I think of it. So join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you, Ad Council, for that FCC obligation. For the first half of the program, we heard yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the Ghost to Ghost Matter. I don't believe I've ever played this one before. However, that script sure sounds reused, which was pretty common in radio in the 40s and 50s. That had an original air date of the 18th of May, 1958. I'm carving the old proverbial jack-o'-lantern here at the grand hour this morning. I'm getting ready for Halloween in a couple of weeks. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to start the second half of the program with this is Tales of the Texas Rangers. I've only played a couple of these episodes before, so we'll give it a shot. This one's titled Living Death, again, because we're carving jack-o'-lanterns here on the Grand Hour. It's an original air date of the 8th of October, 1950. Thanks.
Transcribed. Presenting Joel McRae as Jace Pearson in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Of the Texas Rangers, authentic stories from their official files. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Living Death.
It is 2 a.m. on the morning of October 3rd, 1948. A man stands in the brush on the American side of the Rio Grande, watching another man wading rapidly across the river from the Mexican side.
Come on, hurry up.
Señor Green! Señor Green, where are you?
Over here. And shut up.
Oh.
I almost fallen.
Never mind. You crazy wearing a white sombrero with that moon?
What is the harm, Señor Green? Nobody sees the ego but you.
Don't be too sure of that. Somebody followed me down here. I don't know whether I shook him or not.
The border patrol?
No. Hijacker, maybe. You got the package?
Oh, see. Right here. 20 ounces.
Okay, here's your money. 200 an ounce. $4,000.
Oh, gracias. Will be another shipment next week.
Yeah, I know. I'll meet you here again on the 12th. Same time. And be a little more...
You're right, amigo. Someone does follow you.
Quiet. Sound came from over there. He's moving this way. You'll have to crawl through that clearing first, and the moon's right on it.
You going to use a gun?
What do you think I got it for? Keep quiet.
There he is, coming into the moonlight.
Yeah, and he doesn't see us. Just like a sitting duck. Oh!
You hit him, senor?
Yeah. But it looks like I didn't hit him good enough. Yeah, that's better. Grab his leg.
Senor,
grab his leg and get him out of this clearing into the brush. The longer it takes to find him, the better.
Senor Grip, we shouldn't have met this place again. You will not be safe.
All right, drop him here. No, we can't use this place again. It'll be too hot.
I must get back across the river. Where do we meet next time?
Next time, use our old crossing near Lajitas. I'll get lost. Fast!
body of the slain man was discovered. But for 2 months, there was no clue to point to his killer. And then suddenly another man was shot to death on the streets of a small town in West Texas. And Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers radioed Ranger Jace Pearson to meet him at the county morgue.
Bodies on this slab, Jace.
Shot right through the heart, eh, Captain?
Yeah. And here's our ballistics report. 45 caliber slug. Look at the markings on this photo of it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, look at this ballistics photo. This is a report on the slug they took out of the man who was killed near the border 2 months ago.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Both slugs came from the same gun.
Mm-hmm.
Autopsy report on this man completed yet?
It's being typed up. We'll have it in a minute. Clyde Mooney's waiting for it.
Mooney? Oh, is he here?
Yeah, I sent for both of you. Mooney worked on the border killing. Since it's tied up with his second killing, I thought you'd better tackle it together.
Suits me fine.
You got some special reason for wanting to see the autopsy report, Jace?
Yeah. Look at the body. Marks on the left forearm. Look like the kind we usually find on drug addicts.
Well, we'll know in a second. Here's Clyde now.
Howdy, Captain. Hi, Jace.
Howdy, Clyde. Good to see you, boy.
Heard you talking as I come in, Jace. You hit it all right. Here's the autopsy report. Man was a drug addict.
He's probably just as well off dead, then. Bullet ties this one right up with your border case, Clyde. Guess we're both after the same killer.
Yeah. I've been hunting wetbacks for 2 months trying to find the man who was toting the gun no slugs came from.
Anything else you boys want to see here?
No, Captain.
No, Captain.
Well, let's get out of here, then.
Any identification on this man we just saw, Captain?
Not a thing. Was dressed like a hobo. Doesn't fit any of the descriptions on missing persons reports, either.
Might help a lot if we knew who he was. I can't see this killing as a job done by a wetback.
Why not, Jace? It was somebody sneaking across the border. Tracks weren't clear by the time the body was found down there, but there were tracks.
Both your cars in back near mine?
Yeah.
All right, Jace, go ahead with your theory.
Well, a wetback sneaking into the country to earn a few dollars working is usually too poor to own a gun, unless he's carrying something across with him.
You thinking of those hypo marks, Jace?
It adds up to me. Narcotic smuggling.
Might be. Man was killed in my territory could have been shot because he spotted somebody crossing with the stuff.
Well, that's possible. But how about the dead man we just left? He wasn't shot near the border.
It looked like he was down and out. Had the habit, but not the price. Might have tried to get some narcotics by threatening to expose the peddler.
I'll buy that, Jace. How about you, Clyde?
Best bet I've had so far.
All right, Jace. Where are you planning on starting?
Back along the border.
What, my area?
No. Killing was made that spot too hot for them. They'll go back to some old crossing that's cooled off. I know a few, and you probably know a few.
Well, yeah. Place west of Laredo. Then there's Devil's River. That's been quiet lately.
Yeah. And the Castellon area and the Big Bend, up through Lajitas and Redford. It's a big border.
Yeah, so the sooner we get started, the more of it we can cover.
You're dragging a double trailer, Jace. Suppose I load my horse in with charcoal. We'll use one car.
Good. Let's go. Mooney and I covered the old smuggler crossings one by one. But weeks passed and we hadn't found anything by the time we reached the Big Bend. We were riding the river near Lajitas.
Getting kind of late, Jace. We ought to make camp, turn in.
Yeah, might as well quit this spot tomorrow. Move on toward Redford. There's a good campsite ahead. Clearing near that clump of honey mesquite.
You've got eyes like a cat.
We can make radio contact when we get back to the car tomorrow. Captain may have something for us.
Yeah. What was it he said he'd check on?
Narcotic possession cases. Trying to pin down areas where the drug traffic seems to be the heaviest. Man who's smuggling narcotics must be picking up for a central distributor.
Well, it could be just a small operator.
A small operator's business wouldn't warrant the risk of crossing the border. Whoever makes the pickup is working for a boss.
Well, why couldn't he be the distributor making his own pickup?
Big boy'd play it safe. Stick somebody else's neck out, not his own. Here we are. Ooh, Charlie.
Ooh, boy. You want to get the bedrolls off, Jace? I'll strike a fire, get some chuck cooking.
No, let's skip the fire and eat cold.
Why? We're moving out of here tomorrow.
I'd like to watch one more night. It's too quiet here. There haven't been reports of any trouble in this section in almost 3 years. We haven't even spotted a wetback trail.
Okay, no fire.
Might as well let the horses drink before we hobble them. Come on, Charco.
Come on, boy.
I want to rub Charco's legs down tonight. Leche Guia's been cutting him up.
Yeah, I got a few nasty scratches myself.
Attaboy.
Drink up. You looking for something over there, Jace?
Yeah. Let the horses go for a second. Come here, bring a flashlight.
What is it?
Slight depressions in this mud bank. Just barely saw them. Flash the light.
Yeah. They were tracks, all right. Not much left, though.
Something else here. Piece of paper half buried. Must have been stepped on.
Brown. Looks like that brown stick'em paper they use to seal packages.
Oh. This is the kind of paper a bank uses to wrap money. Look. Traces of blue on here from an inkstand.
Yeah, can you read it?
No. Maybe the lab at Austin can. Anybody who tore a band from a packet of money in this spot must have been counting it.
Yeah. This isn't exactly a business neighborhood.
Let's stake out, boy. We found some kind of a crossing, and it may be the one we're looking for.
We didn't dare move out of the area. We took turns sleeping and keeping the horses out of sight as much as possible. At night, we crept out along the river, moving slowly undercover.
5 nights now, Jace. Maybe they won't cross again in the same spots.
I know. A mile above or below us, and we'd never even see them.
We found tracks in a couple of places along here. They might... What? Oh. One of our horses. Thought we had something for a minute.
Clyde, that isn't one of ours. It's coming from the wrong direction. Put your ear to the ground.
I don't have to. I can hear him coming now.
It can't be our horses. They're hobbled, and the one we hear is moving free. Come on. Don't show yourself on the riverside. That's where his contact will come from.
Coming now. There's something moving in the water out there.
A few hundred yards down. Our horses would have to be up the other way. We'll have to try it on foot. We haven't time to go back and get mounted.
They make a fast pass. We'll never get there in time anyhow.
We'll have to risk a little noise. That moving horse will cover our approach until he stops. Step it up.
The contact is across to this side by now. I can't see him out there anymore.
Wait. Wait. The horse is stopping, too.
Diego?
Oh, here, senor.
Come on, give me the stuff. Here's the money.
Well, they're not wasting any time, Jace.
No.
Let's go.
Stay where you are!
Hold on!
Keep going, Diego. Run! Get up, boy!
I'll get the one at the river, Jace. Stop that horse! Come out of that water!
You get him, Clyde?
Yeah. He shot at close range, Jace. I had to kill him.
We got to leave him get after that rider. Let's get to the horses.
Right. Only we've been 50 yards closer to him back there, Jace.
He went over the ridge up ahead. We can pick up his trail up there. I could swear I hit him when I fired.
I hope you did. Narcotic traffic's the filthiest thing on earth. Oh, here's the ridge, Jace. Oh, boy.
Oh, Charco. Boy. Yeah. Look where we have to track. Mesquite and greasewood. Ground as hard as rock.
Won't be much of a trail here, Jace. It'll take us hours to cut back and forth looking for soft spots.
Yeah, no time for that. Get off.
Yeah.
It's going to be too bad if I didn't hit him. A blood trail's our only chance.
Yeah. They'll find another contact for narcotics across the border.
Sure they will. Unless we get to the man we're after. He's the only one who can lead us to the ring on this side of the border. And we've got to get to him before he gets rid of that package.
You are listening to Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Today marks our first Sunday broadcast. And we sincerely hope that all our old friends who listen to us on Saturday night will be with us at this new Sunday time. Also, we extend a cordial welcome to our new listeners and hope that you'll be with us every Sunday at this time. Now we continue with tonight's case, Living Death, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
We combed the ground for a blood trail, and we found it. Not much, but enough to follow. It led through the mesquite and greasewood, but the rider knew the country. He'd been weaving through the roughest spots.
He's a smart one, Jace.
Yeah, slowing us down all the way.
Got a good hour on us by now.
And an hour is too long. He's probably just using that horse to get to a car someplace.
We can't waste any more time trail cutting then.
No. He must have headed for cover someplace to take care of that wound. General direction seems to be northeast. We'll have to gamble on it.
Okay.
Let's ride.
Get up, Charlie.
After 2 miles, we reached a road and picked up the trail again. We had horse tracks to follow now, and they led to a dilapidated barn near a rundown ranch house. He was here, all right, Clyde. Blood in the hay and this torn cloth ripped a piece off his shirt to make a bandage. He knew this spot and headed right for it. He must have been here before.
Yeah. But we're still way behind him. Main road's only a mile or so from here. He's gotten to his car by now.
The ranch house is dark. Well, let's wake him up. He might have seen something or heard something. Leave the horses here.
Okay. This place sure has gone to seed, Jason.
Yeah, big house. Falling apart.
Fences sagging, no stock. Must have been a nice ranch once, though.
Isn't anymore. Man gets his living from the earth, you'd think he'd take better care of it.
Here's the house.
Open up. Hey, wake up in there.
Who is it?
Texas Rangers, ma'am. We'd like to talk to you.
Just a minute.
There was an electric power line to the house, but when she opened the door, she was carrying a candle. The inside of the house was almost barren.
What do you want?
We're looking for a rider. Came through here tonight.
He stopped in your barn. You see or hear anything?
No, I didn't.
You rent out a horse to anybody?
A horse? Range, if I had a horse, I'd have sold him for food for my kids.
Sorry we have to bother you, ma'am.
It's all right. What difference does it make?
You know anybody around who... Ma'am. Would you mind holding your candle over the mantle of this fireplace?
Why?
Jace. That picture.
The picture was a photograph of a man. The face was younger, full and healthier than when we'd seen it last. But there was no doubt about who it had been.
Jace, that's a picture of the man we saw with the cap, the body in the morgue.
The morgue?
Oh, no. Take it easy, ma'am. Take it easy.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
When? When did you see him? Oh, he can't be dead. He can't be.
I'm afraid he is, ma'am. And you'll help us a lot if you'll tell us who he was.
Jack Prentice. My husband. Oh, my poor kid.
Oh, why didn't you report him missing?
Because he left me 2 years ago. He'd sold and lost everything we owned. He was sick, half crazy, acting like a madman. I don't know why I didn't do anything. He'd never been like that before.
You got any idea at all what started it?
A friend of his. Jack was all right. He was a good husband and father till he took up with Virgil Green. Then he spent more time with him than he did with us. He must have been gambling or something. We had a good place here. Then it was all gone.
This isn't going to be easy to take, ma'am. Your husband wasn't a gambler. He was a drug addict.
Oh, why didn't he tell me? I begged him to go to a doctor, but he wouldn't.
When did you see him last?
I told you 2 years ago. When Virgil Green left, Jack left right after him.
You seen this Virgil Green since then?
No.
You know where Green went after he left here?
No, but it must have been Chino. I got a couple of letters from Jack came from there. And then he stopped writing. Not even a word to his kid.
Ma'am, I hate to leave you like this, but we'll see if we can get you some help later on.
Nothing can help anymore. Not for me. But I'd beg for my kid.
You won't have to. You'll hear from us. Come on, Clyde.
We got to get the boy who gunned her husband, Jace.
We got to get more than one. We got to get them all. The whole ring. There'll be 100 more like her husband, dying slower and worse than he did.
You think this Virgil Green is the link?
It must be. Fits the cards we've been playing. Jack Prentice couldn't raise money to buy from Green, threatened to expose him, and Green killed him.
Then he killed a man near the border, too.
Gotta try to pick up Green at Chino. He knew this place. It's a fair bet he's the man we've been chasing. Get up, Charco.
Up, boy. Taking him is gonna be a pleasure.
We can't take him. Not until we find out if he still has that package. We better knock on these ponies until we get to our car.
Get up, Charco. Yeah.
Got to the car, but before we headed for Chino, I put in a phone call to Captain Stinson.
All right, Jace. I'll have a ranger plane pick up that bank wrapper and send it to the lab.
It may be a bank in Chino.
Well, that fits with a few other things. My checkup shows a heavy drug traffic in and around the Chino area, and the town where Prentice was killed is only 60 miles from Chino.
Good. That narrows it down. See if you can dig up a Chino address on Virgil Green while we're driving up there. He's only 2 hours ahead of us. If we can burn up road, we may reach there almost as soon as he does.
Let you know by radio, Jace. I'll head for Chino myself.
Thanks, Captain. We'll see you there. We were less than an hour out of Chino when our short wave came through with Green's address.
KTXA to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Address of subject Virgil Green is Greendale Ranch, State Highway 39, 14 miles west of Chino.
Got it. Any report from lab on bank money wrapper?
Stamp on money wrapper restored by Austin Lab. Money and packet came from Chino State Bank, corner Main and Crockett in Chino.
10-4, Unit 10 clear.
ADXA Austin.
It's all we need, Jace.
Yeah. We can get Green in sight before he unloads that package. It was dark when we reached the Greendale Ranch outside of Chino. We'd made up time on Green's head start because we saw a car and horse trailer pull into the ranch just ahead of us. A man got out of the car and limped up to the house, and he was carrying a package.
Walks like a man's been shot in the leg, Jace.
Yeah. Don't turn in after him. Go on past the ranch.
Okay. Where do you want to stop?
Where we can watch the house and keep the car shielded.
Well, there was some heavy brush on the other side of the road just across from Green's place.
All right. Turn around and go back. We'll keep an eye on him from there. We kept a watch on Green's house all night, but nobody showed to pick up the package. The next morning, Green came out and got into his car. We followed him into Chino.
He's pulling into a parking space up near the next corner, Jace.
Yeah, slow down.
He's getting out. He's got the package, all right, sticking out of his pocket.
Park here, quick. He's going into that building on the corner. Come on, before we lose him. Hey, the street sign, Main and Crockett.
And he went in there, Jace. Chino State Bank. That's where the money wrapper came from.
Don't go in. Just walk around the corner. We can look through the bank windows.
There he is, Jace. Last counter, the rear of the bank.
Safe deposit boxes. Going through the rail into the vault.
Must have a box he's going to plant the stuff in. We going to grab him?
No. Wait till he comes out.
But he won't have it on him then.
We got enough on him. We can pick him up anytime. You gotta stay with that package until we know who gets it next.
Hey, he wasn't in there long. He's coming out.
Yeah, the package isn't in his pocket now. All right, get out of sight.
Yeah. He was in there just long enough to open up the box and drop it.
Yeah, you've seen the package now. Drift around to the front of the bank. See that nobody leaves that vault with it unless you follow him.
Okay, where are you going?
To meet the captain and get a court order to open that vault. Got the order. Then we waited until the bank closed and the employees were out. We got the president of the bank at his home and took him back to open the vault.
Narcotics, most distressing, gentlemen. Oh, come in, please.
All right. Which box is Green's?
421, right here.
Want to open it for us?
Why, of course.
What? Say.
It's empty.
Now, couldn't you have made a mistake, Ranger?
No. Clyde, are you sure that package wasn't taken out?
Positive, Jace. I watched every single person went in or out till the bank closed.
Our order covers the rest of these boxes, doesn't it, Captain?
Yes.
All right. Let's open them all. We found what we were after, but not the way we expected to find it. The stuff was there, all right, but it had been split up into smaller quantities. The owners of these boxes must be names you have on your list of dope peddlers, then, Captain.
I'll check that on the bank records.
Yeah, but how'd this stuff get split up? Green wasn't in here long enough to do it.
No, he couldn't have done it. His key would only give him access to his own box.
It'd have to be done by somebody with a set of duplicate keys. Somebody working here.
Well, that's impossible. Only the head cashier and I have duplicate keys.
Were you in the vault after the bank closed?
No, sir. I haven't been in here all day.
That's truth, Jace. I could see him through the window.
And then the head cashier's our boy. He's the distributor.
And a pretty clever distribution scheme, too. No direct contact, and he has access to the vault after the guard has left.
If he's handled those packets, there'll be fingerprints on him. What's his name and where does he live?
His name is August Weber. He's got a big ranch over near Estrella on Highway 39. And I know how he got it now. He said he was making money on investments.
Investments? He meant a black market in human souls. Come on, Clyde. Let's get him and Virgil Green. We found the house, an elaborate building on a fine ranch. There was another car in the driveway when we pulled up.
Hey, Jace, that car in front of the place.
Yeah, we're in luck. It's the car Virgil Green was driving.
Light around the side of the house by that French door. Maybe they didn't hear us drive in.
Good. Let's slip up on that side of the porch and find out.
Might be able to take him easy.
Don't count on it. Cold-blooded killer like Green. He'd keep on killing as long as he has a gun. We slipped up to the French door. It was locked and we couldn't see through it. But their voices drifted out through an open window.
I'm telling you, Weber, my leg's infected. I gotta see a doctor.
Have him report a bullet wound?
You want me to die? I could put a bullet in you, too.
Well, let me know when you want to try. I've done a little killing myself, Green. Only I've been smarter about it.
Nobody's caught me yet.
All right, Clyde. Let's kick a hole in this door.
All right. Don't move.
Ranger!
Don't breathe!
Clyde, you hurt bad?
My side. You're hit too, Jace. Blood on your head.
Yeah, just a nick. Come on. I'll get you to a hospital.
How about them?
Leave them for the coroner. They're both dead.
The gun found beside the body of Virgil Green proved to be the murder weapon the Rangers had been seeking. Narcotics peddlers, having safe deposit boxes at the Chino State Bank, were rounded up, and they admitted they had been supplied by August Weber. They were tried and sentenced. The traffic in living death was halted. And here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
A friend of mine returned recently from a visit to Texas. While he was there, he'd seen a Texas Ranger, and he asked his host, a rancher, what the requirements were for a man who wanted to be a ranger. The host looked thoughtful for a moment and said, "Well, I'd say if a man could ride like a Mexican, trail like an Indian, shoot like a Tennessean, and fight like the devil, He might have a chance to get in. Al, I hope you'll be with us again next week. Same time, same station. Good night.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
So we heard Living Death and Tales of the Texas Rangers. That had an original air date of the 8th of October, 1950. You've been listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Arthur. It's been interesting carving the old proverbial jack-o'-lantern here this morning. I'm going to cut out a little early. New schedule's out. There should be somebody behind me here. I'm going to clean out because I got my 56 minutes in of radio drama. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Pete.
And Jay.
And you're listening to
WMFO
Medford 91.5
FM.
Sweet Cecilia up and left without a trace, silently. know someone's used these words.
¶¶